Good morning once again. It is great to see you today on this Palm Sunday morning. We have processed in and had a great time so far. It's all downhill from here. Our second scripture reading comes to us today from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 to 16. It's another telling of the Palm Sunday story. Listen. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This last week, my wife Lisa got a phone call from somebody in the real estate office where she works. And they told her almost breathlessly that they were showing a house to Richard Sherman. Now, if you don't know who Richard Sherman is, that's okay. I want to tell you about him. He's a football player who played his college ball at Stanford. And then for the past 7 years, he's played for the Seattle Seahawks. Oh, yeah. And normally I would call for booze at this point in the story. Because as any 49ers fan here today knows, that for the past 7 years, this man has been our mortal enemy. Not only did he often beat us on the field, but he was an outspoken critic of our coach and our team. He feuded with our players. He taunted us. He teased us. And Seattle fans loved it. But then recently, you know, the Seattle Seahawks made a decision to cut Richard Sherman. And he signed a new contract. Wait for it. With the 49ers. So now I guess we love him? I don't know. My sister's real estate friends were tripping, or my wife's real estate friends were tripping over themselves to meet the newest 49er. They reported that he is charming and sweet, nothing like the Richard Sherman we saw for all those years before. Of course, feelings about him have changed as well in Seattle. After it was announced that he would come and play for the 49ers, fans erupted with rage and outrage, with disappointment and disparagement. They took to the streets and online. They called him names. They burned his jersey. They cut ties in every way. It's amazing how fast a crowd of supporters can change, isn't it? And that's the old story, I think. The old story of Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is the day that churches around the world will reenact and remember that fateful day as Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem and people cut down palm branches and took off their cloaks and laid them on the ground so he could ride into the city on a donkey. He was acclaimed as a king, and yet for all the joy and pageantry of that day, we know that his entry into the city was also the entry into the last week of his life. For those same cheering crowds would soon give way to those who shouted, "Crucify him." And this is what we might call the simple or straightforward story of Palm Sunday. You know, Jesus rides in as a king into Jerusalem. He is hailed by the crowds like a Super Bowl MVP. And we love it because Jesus is our king too. Amen? And so this is a day when we celebrate and we go on parade together because we know what it means. It's simple. Some years ago, there was a book that came out, which you might remember. It was called All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Do you remember that book? And the thesis was basically held in the title, which is a call for simplicity, decency, and common sense in life. I want to read you a couple of parts from that book, just things that we maybe learned in kindergarten that we need to remember today. And if you like your sermons to have a practical application, here's your moment. Be ready. It says, share everything, play fair, don't hit people. Put things back where you found them, clean up your own mess, don't take things that aren't yours, say sorry when you hurt someone. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. I don't know why I had to look at the choir in that moment. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and think some and draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. This is good advice. I suspect that this approach to life, this sort of simple view, is the way that most of us also approach this day of Palm Sunday. A day with a simple, straightforward meaning. It's as if to say everything I needed to know about Palm Sunday I learned in kindergarten, and we can list off the key data points. There was a donkey. There was a parade. People shouted Hosanna. Jesus was king. The end. Let's take a nap. But in our text today, we read that as all of this was going on around them, Jesus' own disciples did not know what it meant. As it happened, they did not understand what was going on. And it was only after Jesus was glorified or raised up that they reflected back and remembered the scripture and discovered that there was more happening here than they knew about. Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher, once said that life must be lived forward, but understood backwards. Life must be lived forward, but understood backwards. We have to keep going, we have to keep moving ahead, but it can only be understood when we look back, when we pause to reflect on all that has happened. Yesterday, here in the sanctuary, these pews were also filled in a memorial service for our sister Irma Longley, the wife of Jack Longley, a woman of our church who died so suddenly just last Sunday. There's an insistence to life, isn't there? The way that it keeps moving forward. Life goes on, as the saying goes. And yet there are times when we pause, when we look back and reflect, seeking not just the simple answer, well, when was she born and when did she die, but what does it mean? What does her life mean? What does it mean to us? Life must be lived forward but understood backwards. Somebody after that service yesterday came up to me and said, "Whenever I come to a service like this one, I think about my own life. What's the legacy I'm leaving? What's the work I'm doing? How am I living?" And I wonder for you today on this Palm Sunday morning as you enter this holy week ahead, whether this would be a time for you too to ask those kinds of questions. At our dinner table most nights, my family and I go around the table and we share about our day. We do our highlights, the things that we're thankful for, and then we share anything we wish we could change. And if we forget to do it, Theo reminds us as a way of delaying bedtime. Memorial services, family dinners, church on Sunday, these are opportunities for us to be reflective practitioners, to be people who don't just have things happen to us, but who also seek out actively the meaning for our lives. So only later did that community that was gathered around Jesus, his disciples and friends in the early church, only later, after these events, did they look back and reflect. Did they seek to know what does it mean? And it turns out that the entry into Jerusalem might not have been so simple, but it might also have been subversive. This is where it gets more complicated, because if Jesus was coming into town, into Jerusalem, hailed as a king, then it was a political act. And we don't like to talk politics in church, and for good reason, but listen. This is a public demonstration of the kingdom of God over against the Roman Empire. So every year during the Passover feast, and that's when this story is set, the Roman governor of Judea and Samaria would ride into Jerusalem to make sure that things stayed quiet. And the year that Jesus entered Jerusalem, the Roman governor would have been Pontius Pilate, and we've heard of him. And so it's at that same time period that Jesus was entering that Pilate also entered. And he came with a full array of Roman military power marching into Jerusalem during those holy days, there to make sure that the Jewish citizens would not make any trouble. And that's happening on one side of the city, where the whole power of the Roman Empire is on display to intimidate, to put people in their place. And then on the other side, here comes Jesus. To fulfill the words of the prophet Zechariah, he comes riding humbly, sitting on a donkey. And this is not just a religious statement, it's also a political act. In a sense, he is mocking Pilate, parodying his big parade by having this shambolic version of it. Jesus is challenging Pilate. Who is the real royal one who enters the city this day? Whose kingdom will last? Is it Rome? Or is it the kingdom of God? Palm Sunday sets up for us the basic conflict that will play out over the course of the week ahead. As Jesus ride in, people cry out, "Hosanna, save us." We often think about the way that Jesus comes to save us from our sins. And this is true. This is a spiritual reality. But at the same time, if people were on the roadside calling that out to Jesus, they were also saying, "Save us from the Romans. Save us from our oppressors. Save us from this political system with leaders who don't serve us. Save us from these taxes. Save us not just in the next world, but in this one too." So there's a subversive element to Palm Sunday, where Jesus rides into Jerusalem not just to bring spiritual revival, but also political, economic, and social change. And this can be part of the story that we're not accustomed to thinking about or not sure what to do with, because we like the simple story better. But I want to challenge you today to know that Jesus comes to subvert, to undermine, and to question the powers of this world, the assumptions that are in place, and any system that would perpetuate injustice or violence. Jesus subverts all of those powers. Now, that's a lot to take in on a Palm Sunday morning when we really just came for the donkey. There's a story about a young man who worked for his father's wholesale business, and his father gave him the task of unloading a full truckload of rotten potatoes. And after hours of unloading bag after bag of these slimy, smelly potatoes, he complained about all of this to his father. He complained about how many bags were still remaining. And his dad said, "Don't worry, son. You only have to unload them one bag at a time." We can't understand everything about the meaning of Palm Sunday or the events of our world or even of our own small lives all at once. It's too much to take in, but one bag at a time we can lift. Just one day at a time we can live. So what is that simple and good thing that God is offering you today? Will you receive it? The assurance that Jesus is King, that he rides into this world and into our lives again. And what is that subversive and challenging message that God is giving you this morning? Will you wrestle with it? Whether Jesus doesn't come to just baptize our systems as they are, but to change them, that through his church, he might change the world. In the end, along with the simple and the subversive, I want to offer you one more S, because Presbyterian ministers love alliteration. It's see for yourself. See for yourself. A life with God and following Jesus is not something we can do on our own. If you're here today and you seek to have more faith in your life and more meaning in your days, I invite you to keep coming and seeing for yourself. I don't believe you can stay at home and read a book or look things up online to discover what it really means to follow Jesus. I believe that a life must be lived forward so that we take steps of faith. As a community, we move forward, but then we understand our life backwards. We're a reflective place. When we gather to worship, that's what we do. Our church, our community, seeks to be a place where we can come to know more and more
who Jesus Christ is, what it will mean for us, and how we will then live in the world. Happy Holy Week. It's just beginning. God bless you today. Amen.